Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Friday to you. It is a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today kicking off here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. That may have been Tyler Devitt's finest moment right there, Tony. That particular open that he put together a couple weeks ago. Seriously, when the highlight crescendos, the music crescendos, very well done there, and oh, the good old days of a Jaguar winning streak.
Oh, yes.
Let's get it back.
Just a few weeks ago.
Just a few weeks ago it was, Tony. We were stacking up victories like cordwood, and now we're going to chop down Marcus Mariota once again, but oh my goodness, what a ridiculously good game that turned out to be last night. Maybe not a ridiculously good game, but a ridiculously good second half and finish to that game. Once again, the Packers looked miserable offensively in the first half of that contest, Tony. And as I was telling you a moment ago, it's the kind of game that makes me gnash my teeth and wring my hands from a fantasy perspective. Sure. When Eddie Lacy goes for 100+ in the last two games, and then he's in McCarthy's doghouse, apparently. I don't know if it's just fumbling that's catching up to him. I don't know if it's practice habits. I don't know what it is. But Fat Boy could barely get on the field last
night. No, he couldn't get on the field, and Matthew Stafford looked like he was in maybe for a monster night after the first quarter of that football game.
Killing it.
And then everything hit the brakes for that Detroit Lions offense, and they just couldn't find themselves beyond that, and it cost them an opportunity to keep themselves alive in the playoff hunt. They hadn't swept Green Bay, I think I heard, in something like 25 years.
Right.
It's been since they swept that team, and they play them twice every year. They hadn't won in Green Bay in like 24 years. They did that a couple weeks ago. So it's Detroit had a lot of opportunities right there in front of them last night, and the way the game played out there at the end, I mean, a 61-yard Hail Mary set up by a face mask. I mean, everything that happened there at the end of that football game was unbelievable.
Well, the previous drive, they convert a 4th-and-1 with less than 6 minutes left from their own 26, I believe it was, as Cobb picked up 12 or 16, whatever it was, on a little pass dump off from Aaron Rodgers, and then Rodgers ultimately ran one in from 17 yards out, and you're thinking, all right, they got time for about one play left, and here's where the game should have ended, as Aaron Rodgers dropped back, and they were going to go all lateral crazy on it, but they got a face mask penalty.
Absolute desperation moment in the middle of the field. The Jones to Rodgers to Rodgers. How about that? Rodgers gets it the other way. He's thrown down. We got a flag. The game's not over. Grabbed it by the face mask. That was Devin Taylor.
Personal foul. Face mask. Number 98 defense. 15-yard penalty.
This is like what happened in the Baltimore-Jacksonville game this year.
The game will be extended for one play.
Yes, it is, kind of. But in that game,
not quite as zany.
Not quite as zany, Tony. You think, you know what? All right, 50. What was that? A 53-yard field goal, right, against the Ravens?
Yeah, it was a 53-yard field goal. But the image of Blake taking that snap and falling down.
That was a little more helter-skelter. Although this was one of those lateral plays. We're going to throw it, and we're going to hopefully no one gets tackled with the ball. I mean, the idea that Richard Rodgers is going to lateral it to Aaron Rodgers anyway at that point in time. Could you imagine if Aaron Rodgers gets a season-ending injury as he's like the third man on the lateral parade from like 80 yards away from the end zone?
Yeah, and that wasn't the end of Rodgers to Rodgers.
It was not the end of Rodgers to Rodgers. Unlike the Jacksonville-Baltimore finish, when you line up, you know a kicker can make a 53-yarder in today's NFL. Will he make it? Well, that's the question. But certainly, you know, a 53-yarder, Tony, I'd say, if you've got the leg, maybe in that situation, you're going to make it 3 out of 10 times, right? Something like that. 30% a reasonable amount of the time. You know how they have those sites that will track play by play what a team's percent chance of winning that game.
Yes.
Right? As that ball is being snapped on the previous play, as Nance said, pure desperation time. It's 0.001, maybe, if that, right? I mean, how many teams in that circumstance, as far as they were away, ever won the game? Well, no one's ever won it from the 39 yard line, the opposite 39 yard line, and that's where they lined up to take a shot.
Can the receivers get far enough down the field? Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Brown. A game ender for the Packers.
One day when Aaron Rodgers goes to the Hall of Fame, without that game, he still would have gone to the Hall of Fame. Other than the Super Bowl championship, and if he wins any more along the way, that'll be the first thing they go to, Tony. That'll be the first highlight they play of his career. It'll certainly go down as one of his top five plays of all time. Maybe his greatest single play. It's not as great, as he said, as collecting a Lombardi trophy, but he said since then, it's the best game he's had in the National Football League, all things considered, where the Packers were, the performance, the last-second heroics, all that stuff. Boy, you could pick apart what Jim Caldwell tried to do to him defensively on that play, too, right? They're worried about another lateral play. Have they not watched Aaron Rodgers play? If anybody's got the arm to throw it that far into the end zone on the fly, it's Aaron Rodgers. He probably could have thrown another 10, 20 yards if he absolutely needed to. And they rushed three guys. They've got two guys about halfway between the line of scrimmage and the end zone in no man's land, one on each sideline, trying to avoid some kind of lateral madness on the final play of the game. I gotta believe if I've got eight defenders in the end zone or on the goal line, Tony, and they start lateraling it and coming up and they've broken the line of scrimmage, I can come up and make the tackle somewhere in the ensuing 61 yards.
You ought to be able to, yeah.
You would think so. Crazy, crazy finish last night. Well, we still go back to when the Jaguars knocked off the Texans with the Hail Mary at the end of that game. They'll be talking about this one forever in Packer lore, and the Lions looked like they had things turned around and certainly looked like the better team for a large portion of that game. Last night, pretty amazing stuff that they were able to get out. So Thursday night gets it underway. Week 13 is here. Jags on the road to Tennessee this weekend. Will we get a repeat of a very close game that we got here in Jacksonville last time? You know, I heard Jeff Prosser breaking it down, saying, I believe he said, 9 times in the last 11 years, Jags and Tennessee have split. And he felt like, you know, there's no compelling reason to believe that definitively the Jaguars should beat the Titans this time, and he just kind of feels like law of averages is going to lead to a split. I know what he's talking about. Tennessee hasn't won a game since last year, as Jim Wyatt discussed with us yesterday from TitansOnline.com. At home, since Josh Scobie's field goal got blocked at the end of the Jaguars' attempt to knock him off last year, they haven't won a home game. I mean, if any team is due, now they're not a good team. So it's not like they're due to, you know, week in, week out, knock somebody off. But
neither is Jacksonville.
No, they're not.
Which gives them an opportunity this week. I went on Nashville radio yesterday. I went on with Derek Mason and Darren McFarlane up there in Nashville, Tennessee.
Because you're big time.
Yeah, I guess so. On 102.5. And the first question they asked me was, are we going to get the same kind of offensive explosion that we saw 2 weeks ago on Thursday night? And I said, look, Jacksonville can't score in the red zone. And if they ever figure out how to score in the red zone, they might start clobbering
people.
They
could be dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
But right now, they haven't solved that part of the field. So I'm not guessing that it gets fixed this week. My guess is that they'll get into the red zone 4 or 5 times, and they'll get 13 points out of it.
Out of the red zone.
Right.
Trips.
That's who they are right now, because I just can't figure that out. Now, if they ever did and say this was the week that they go 4 for 4 in the red zone, then Tennessee's in mighty big trouble.
Well, obviously. Yeah, you go 4 for 4 in the red zone, that's 4 touchdowns right there, regardless of what else you do.
But so. It's hard to expect that kind of thing. I would expect it to be a very similar game to what we saw 2 weeks ago here in Jacksonville. I don't think Tennessee's offense is explosive by any means, but I think they're really strong where they need to be strong to expose the Jags, and that is at the tight end position. You saw it 2 weeks ago. Does Mike Mularkey go into a shell again if that Tennessee team gets a lead on Sunday against this Jaguars team? For Tennessee fans, they better hope not, because it opened the door wide for the Jaguars to step through. It was Rashad Greene who made the big play and got the Jags back in that contest.
You would think it would be inconceivable for Mike Mularkey to do that, right? I mean, his chance to hold on to the interim tag and turn it into the full-time coaching position was probably slim to begin with anyway. He may need to win 4 of the final 5 games, Tony, and really turn around
maybe
the season,
yeah,
something like that. So you would think a guy in that position is going to say, you know what, let's break form. What we've been doing hasn't been that successful. Let's be more aggressive. What do we have to lose? I just think some guys are wired that tight. Mike Mularkey seems that kind of guy. I wouldn't put it past him to give the Jags an assist in that department as well, to not manage the end game scenario, to play not to lose. But logic would dictate that he would switch things up. Let's hope it doesn't come down to that. Let's hope that the Jags do find the key in the red zone. And you mentioned a key stopping Delanie Walker. We'll hear Gus Bradley, Bob Babich weigh in on that aspect of the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive game plan this weekend. Delanie hurt him last time. Tight ends have hurt him badly recently, so can they slow those guys down? We'll talk about that today. Want your keys to victory as we look for them every single Friday. You can get on the Jaguars Today Facebook page or tweet Tony or myself. At MD_1010XL is mine, and at 1010XL Fat Tony, of course, is his. At 1010XL Tyler, to let him feel included in the party for putting together such a good opening to the show today. Oh, you're welcome, Tyler. You deserve it. You're such a grinding hard worker behind the scenes for 2 hours every single day.
I'm doing 24. Five today. I'm doing the SEC championship, I guess you can call it the pregame show for XL Primetime. Oh, yeah, they're
the
live.
Oh, the primetime pregame.
Live right? And in action, yeah.
Live and otherwise known as Three Men and a Hacker. Take a road trip to Atlanta. And they didn't take the RV, right? I'm led to believe, at least that's what Joe told me yesterday.
No, they took the truck, and Gibby led the way.
Was Gibby doing the driving?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'd be the one I'd trust out of that crew.
And
honestly,
apparently Hacker wasn't too happy that he wasn't allowed to play Celine Dion.
Why would he? First of all, is it not a universal rule, driver picks the music?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Driver,
in my vehicle, driver picks the music. My wife drives, she picks the music or whatever. She likes NPR, actually, a lot of times.
If they want to give up the right to the music, that's their prerogative. If they want to say, listen to whatever you want.
Choice. Yeah. It's Gibby's choice, so Gibby should not be cowed by Hacker and his shenanigans in any size
vehicle. I can tell you that if I'm the driver and someone says I really want to listen to Celine Dion, then I'm going to invoke driver's privilege. I know that much is going to... No, we're not listening to that.
Right. Now, look, driver rankings for that road trip right there. Gibby would be the safe, easy... He's like taking Adrian Peterson in your fantasy league, right? Everyone's like, oh, come on. Well, what do you want me to do with the first pick? I take the obvious guy here, okay? I think T-Wig would have been kind of Le'Veon Bell, right? You know he's going to provide some good steerage of the vehicle,
sure.
But, you know, maybe not quite as sure a thing. Maybe he's going to you want to take a siesta at some point. He seems like
maybe
the kind of guy that like a mid-afternoon nap.
I will say Wig is probably the most likely in the car to pick the music that I would want to listen to.
Okay.
On the road
trip. So you would want him to drive.
Yeah.
I would rank him as the second choice. I think Cowart gets you there the fastest.
Cowart's
provided law enforcement doesn't step in and slow you down at some point along the way, although Joe probably knows every speed trap between here and anywhere.
Hacker's dead last.
Hacker's dead last.
And it's not just the driving, it's the fact that he would make you listen to Celine Dion and that kind of thing. It's at the very
I don't know if he can see over the dashboard without, you know.
At least it's not Hacker singing Elton John.
we've had
it's
that.
It's enough for this wide-eyed wanderer that we got this far.
You know what? I'll say this about Hack.
I love right? those two runs. Why?
He's terrible. Right? He's a terrible singer. I give him props and credit for doing it because I'm a terrible singer, and I've occasionally tried to drop a lyric on the air because it's just fun to sing. Who doesn't like to sing, right?
I love to sing.
Right, and you're actually a decent singer, all right? Balls Davis was a really good singer, and I'm terrible. So I more resemble Hacker. So the fact that he is willing to just kind of throw it out there publicly and say, ah, screw it. This is who I am. This is what I sound like.
Anymore.
Now, I don't respect that as much.
Right? So bad.
That was really bad, and I'd never heard that one before. And I believe that's such classic Hacker, though. It's beautiful.
It's enough for this wide-eyed wanderer.
My man likes to over-enunciate from time to time, does he? You know he was singing something on the way up there. Are we doing crosstalk today, Tyler? Is it possible?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
I do, too. I want to find out what was vocalized on the trip up there and exactly what went down. So those guys will do a great job coming to you from Atlanta. Tomorrow, get the big pregame as well. What are we doing? Noon to 3:30 tomorrow? Is that
I believe so,
absolutely, yeah.
Prosser Hicken, the boys from XL Primetime will be there. Is Frangie going to be at the game?
I am not sure, but I know pretty much the whole crew is there.
Well, I know Frank's working on Sunday. You know, you may have heard the Jacksonville Jaguars are in Nashville.
Yeah,
on Sunday,
Atlanta to Nashville is not a big trip.
Not daunting,
so
right.
So he could do that pretty easy if you wanted to go to the game.
If you wanted to go to the game, I have a feeling, though, you know, if this were less than, say, 17-point spread or thereabouts, that maybe he'd be more compelled to be in attendance. I don't know what the plan is. But great coverage coming up on 1010XL all weekend long, whether it's the SEC championship game or anything else, including Jacksonville Jaguar football. All right, phone lines will be open to you at 641-1010, also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can text us just about anything, including if you want to tell us that, I don't know, Blake Bortles needs to be sat down for the final month of the season because he's the reason the Jags aren't winning football games.
We're going to open that can again.
I'm just throwing it out there, Tony. I'm trying to come with a positive mood today to, you know, be open-minded about all the many possible wonderful discussions we can have today on a myriad of topics. If it has to do with the NFL, if it has to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars, if it has to do with the XL Primetime road trip, what would be the top five on Hacker's playlist? We could have so much fun with it today. Also, oh my goodness, almost forgot. We've got four packs of tickets out the wazoo, as the saying goes, for tonight's game between Team USA and Team Jamaica over at Hodges Stadium over on the campus of UNF. If you want four packs of tickets, you have to be able to pick them up today. You have to use them tonight. But it's Rugby World Cup qualifying. This is the official United States national team playing tonight over at Hodges Stadium versus Team Jamaica. We had the captains in earlier this week. Next Saturday, the USA will square off with Team Canada as Jamaica and Canada play midweek next week down in DeLand, Florida. And it's basically a round robin. And if there is a tie for the best record in the group, then it's a point differential that'll, you know, move the one team on. One team out of three will advance to the Rugby World Cup.
So if Team USA beats Jamaica tonight, then if they beat Canada, they're going to the World Cup.
Then they're going to the World Cup.
And if Jamaica wins tonight, if they beat Canada, they're going to the World
Cup.
They're
going to the World Cup, right.
So tonight is a crucial game, obviously, with just three teams having the opportunity and two games to get you in there.
Right. So if you want to go, be listening. Your opportunity to score tickets from us is coming up, or multiple opportunities throughout the course of the next 2 hours. Johnny O is going to join us today. We'll hear from Gus Bradley and Bob Babich. Love to take a bunch of calls from you as well, talking football, talking Jags football with you here on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Another good day of situational football. Master the obvious, same thing. Same approach that we took yesterday. Heavy third down, an extra red zone opportunity for us. So, as well as getting one early in practice. And tomorrow we really emphasize red zone. So, got a couple shots of that. I thought that was good. And then obviously first and second down work as well. So, overall, pretty pleased with it, how it went.
Red zone third down. And while you're at it, practice those 61-yard Hail Marys. I hear they're in fashion right now around the National Football League. How often do you practice a Hail Mary play at all? You got to have some, you have to have some idea of what the concept is going to be that they're going to do, right, in terms of where these guys are going to position themselves, don't you? Or is it just kind of free-for-all, get down there and try to box somebody out?
I don't know. I mean,
Richard,
I'm sure
Rodgers was uncovered at the front of the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some, you run that play a couple times, I'm guessing. Probably not every week.
Right, but you probably
time
think,
to time.
Like, you want to get, like, three guys on this level, a couple guys on this level, right? And you're trying to not have everybody strung out on one line in case whatever direction the ball bounces.
Sure.
I don't know. Then you got to have a quarterback who can buy time and get it, you know, 70 yards in the air. I don't know if it's set. Probably about 65 yards in the air. He was creeping up on the line of scrimmage, threw it right to the goal line, but pretty good chuck.
It's a pretty good throw, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, I'm not,
I think
I'm not
Aaron would be
it.
Pretty good at that whole pass, punt, and kick thing.
Are we ruining everyone's Celine Dion experience, Tony? What's the
Celine
feedback?
Celine Dion?
We've gotten there.
No, I thought we were ruining people's
Elton John. Yeah, I was thinking of Hackers with Celine Dion.
No, we might be ruining that.
Well, Hackers ruined that for all of us right now. What did we get, though, on the feedback on that? Somebody used that song at their wedding.
Oh yeah, Irish yes. Jaguar sent me a tweet. He said the first dance at our wedding, and congratulations to him. He was recently married. The first dance at our wedding was "Can You Feel the Love Tonight?" # Jaguars today. Just ruined that.
Well, yeah, there you go. You should have honestly, if you're really a dedicated fan of this station and the Jacksonville Jaguars as you claim, you would have brought in Hacker to sing it personally, right? I mean, that would have been all the rage. Are you kidding
me? It's enough for this wide-eyed wanderer.
And also that apparently 1010XL was unaware of Ball's demise when I mentioned that Balls was a really good singer. I thought he was. I've heard him sing. Balls pretty good. Balls could carry a tune, right? God rest his soul. Poor kid. You know, and 1010XL said, God rest his soul, did I miss something? And as he does quite often, B steps in as the voice of reason to clarify exactly the situation. For those who are unaware, as Beef tweeted out, why do all the greats die so young? Balls was the Scott Weiland of 1010XL, right down to the crippling heroin addiction. And he went on to... he went on to detail it, kill an accident, exploded, and cremated him instantly. And Dan Hicken and Balls are, Beef are still in mourning, hashtag gone too soon. So for those who weren't aware, it's a tragic story, but, you know.
It is.
Live fast, die young. Right? Leave a pretty corpse. Isn't that what they tell you, Tony?
I'm not sure you do that in a kiln explosion.
Probably not. Just a little dust on the floor. All right, where are we going today? Shall we?
So Gus Bradley's down, right?
Yeah, he did the show last night, didn't he? Right here on 1010XL. I hear it's the flagship home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes, we are,
and a lot of other nonsense apparently. You know what? Let's just skip the first one. I don't want to hear what Gus has to say good about Phillip Rivers. All right, it's over and done with. He's good.
You don't have to worry about it until at least next year.
You know. Here's what you need to worry about. Here's what they need in the draft. When the Jags are sitting down in the war room, we're not turning this into a draft talk show, but this is just a piece of information to store away. When they're sitting in the war room, Tony, and they're discussing, and the scouts are coming in, making their pitch for this defensive player or that defensive player, I think the first question I would ask, let's say, of any scout bringing to me an outside linebacker prospect, something like that, is, could he run Phillip Rivers down before he picks up 8 yards? I think that's the first question you need to ask in regards to Phillip Rivers, and then you move on. All right, and let's move on. Gus talking about the quarterback that they will face this week for the second time in 3 weeks, Marcus Mariota.
He's very poised in the pocket, and I think that poise gives him the ability to stay in there and really allow routes to develop. And then that quick release. So the quick game is tough to defend. You know, there's three factors that I know. I remember when I was growing up and the guys I coached with that coached the West Coast offense, Bill Walsh always say, you know what, number one thing I'm looking for a quarterback is timing, accuracy, and decision-making. And you look at him, you know, timing, accuracy, decision-making, pretty good, and that's why his completion percentage is high. So he's got, you know, a lot of really good traits about him and, you know, the ability to make plays and then his speed, you know, to extend the play.
Yeah. And you got to ask yourself about Blake Bortles, timing, accuracy, decision-making. Where is he right now in his development on all three of those particular things as well? And
where is he on those things?
Well, the decision-making isn't great.
No, the accuracy isn't great, right? I mean, great, by NFL standards, it's below 60%.
It's one of those things where he tries to push the ball downfield so much. I think he puts a lot of balls in places where his guys have a chance to go make a play. And maybe that goes into the accuracy a little bit. I don't feel like this year he's throwing a bunch of footballs that it's like, that's 5 yards away from where it should be. I don't feel like we're seeing that. You saw some of that last year. I think the easy throws have been easy for Blake this year. They just don't, he doesn't do that much. And we've talked about it for the last month. I'm glad TJ Yeldon was more part of the pass game last week. Because if his percentage is going to go up, it's going to be because they're checking down.
Take some short stuff.
Yeah, they're checking down on plays, and that's the Julius Thomas factor as well, hopefully going forward. Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show with Jeff Loggeman last night also talked about the defense and it needing to improve across the board, but especially on third downs and in the red zone.
And look at first down efficiency of the defense. I think we're like 6th in the league on first down. So it's a good number.
Explain that to people.
Well, they just look at, you know, the efficiency versus the run and the pass. How effective are you, you know, in getting them based on down and distance situations and completion percentage and attempts and things like that. So a lot of numbers go into it, but pretty good stat. You know, in second down, I think we're like 16th or 17th. So not as high as what we'd like it to be. But third down, man, third down is where we're really struggling. And, you know, we've looked at that, and there's times where, hey, he hits the open receiver. Sometimes it's tight coverage. Sometimes the quarterback is scrambled. You know, a variety of things. And some of these third downs are occurring in the red zone. So it's a double edged sword there. You know, knocks us both. So definitely an area that we need to improve on.
All right, we'll get to the phone calls here coming up in a second at 641-1010. Want to hear a little bit more on this exchange as Gus Bradley on his show last night with Jeff Logman were talking about how to improve on third down. Logman said one of the ways to improve in those areas is to bring more pressure, and Gus said he felt like they've been doing that since the Bills game in London.
I think what you do is when you rush four, you know, you look at hits and pressures on the quarterback to try to get him off the spot. And how much do you do that? Well, and then you add five-man pressure. Well, you know, a number of hits on the quarterback, you look at rankings, and it's very similar as four-man pressure. So, but what you do see with five-man pressure is you do get more hits, you know, overall based on percentage. And with hits, you get chance for turnovers. And, you know, the last 6-7 weeks now, we've been applying more, really since the Buffalo game, we've been applying more pressure, trying to find creative ways to hit the quarterback. I think in last game against Tennessee, we had 4 sacks. I think all 4 of them came off of pressure. Mm-hmm. So we understand the importance of it. Also with pressure comes explosive plays, opportunities. But that's okay. We're willing to understand that if we can knock those down, of which we've done a pretty good job with our pressures. We haven't given up as many as explosive plays as you would think. But, we still have to find ways to bring pressure.
Yeah, and we'll see what the plan is this week. They didn't do a ton of it against San Diego.
Uh-huh. Right. I agree. In overall, since the Buffalo game, yeah. Yes. Last week, not so much.
But I think there was a reason for it last week, too. Rivers gets rid of the ball quickly enough that you're not going to get some pressure there, and you want to be able to play coverage against a guy like that. They just didn't. And the couple times where Rivers scrambled for first downs, it just boggles the mind. But this week against Mariota, look, he's a rookie quarterback. However many games he's played, he's a rookie quarterback, and you'd think that one or two times you ought to be able to confuse him.
Right, but he is also, you want to talk about wheels, he's yet to really unleash him. He did against the Jags for the longish touchdown run, but on a consistent play in, play out basis, that's a credit to him, by the way, that he hasn't been in panic mode, taking off at the earliest sign of pressure, but he's got that ability to break your heart on third down for sure. Let's get a call in here before we break. 641-1010. We got Tim checking in first this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy. What's up?
I was saying one of the things that I don't hear talked about a lot, and I've seen some of it just on regular TV, is some of the route running. Our receivers, a lot of time, man, they run right up into the chest of a defender, and Blake just has to stand there and hold the ball waiting for him to clear. And now you see so many times our guys with somebody right on their hip. You look at it, and will they let the guy get on their hip instead of breaking that thing off a yard short of him and making him come to them, you know, on some of those inside slants and things like that? I mean, I watched Allen Robinson curl in right behind Darrell Revis in the Jets game, and Blake tried to throw him the ball, and it hit Revis right in the hand. But he actually curled in behind him. And so I think some of the times when you see your hurling and screaming at Blake to get rid of the ball, and he's standing there holding it, well, he's waiting for somebody to get open because I think they actually bring some of that coverage onto themselves. That's just my opinion.
All right, thank you, Tim. Look, I'm sure there are instances where that is the case, but I'll say this, in the case of a guy like Allen Hurns, he's been lauded. I mean, Lockman thinks he could be, I think he's a little frisky on this estimation. He described him as maybe the best route runner in the league, Tony, and certainly among the better route runners out there. When you've got a 4-6 guy that's been able to get open consistently and have an average per catch of over 15 yards, he's doing something right in that department. I'm not saying you're 100% wrong across the board. I'm sure there are certainly examples of bad route running that have led to either Blake needing to hold the ball or forcing it into a spot that maybe it should have been an easier throw, whatever the case, Tony. But for the most part, I trust that Jerry Sullivan's doing a pretty good job with these guys. I look at the productivity, the final product of the numbers. Are there instances? Could they be better? Certainly. But I can't believe that Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns have been as productive as they've been if they're really, really bad at such a major aspect of the wide receiver position is route running.
And I think sometimes because we watch the Jaguars so much more closely than I do any other team in the league, you get tunnel vision. And I think fans sometimes think the problems the Jags are having at times, they're the only team having them, and they're not. Like, you watched that game last night. There were some bad routes run. There were bad throws by both those quarterbacks. You don't get upset about them if you're watching that as a Jaguars fan because you're not emotionally invested in what's happening with those two teams. And if you were, you could have the same kind of complaints week after week after week about a lot of different teams across this league. I don't think the route running has been a big issue here in Jacksonville. And I look, the numbers bear that out with both of those guys, Hearns and Robinson. They've been good. And I think Greg Olsen, honestly, has been a revelation in Jacksonville. That you've complained for years about why can't we have guys that are just open on plays. You do.
You're getting that.
Yeah,
and it's not. It's no longer a check down city either,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's scheming it up for this Jaguars team right now, and this is year one in this offense.
In part, right. Some of the credit to some of that goes to Greg Olsen. Also, you know, look, that's not to say Greg Olsen's above blame.
No.
Anytime
the players are better.
Right, the players are better, but anytime you're as inefficient as you've been in the red zone, there's blame to go around everywhere,
sure.
Right? They could be much better, but again, bottom line, when it comes to offense, you're 6 points better per game than you were last year. That's a pretty good step in the right direction. So far. All right, it's Claude Noly Cadillac Friday. We'll get more of your calls coming up. John Osier is going to stop by from Jaguars.com as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osier.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Yeah, there's some days I don't know.
Johnny O's in the house.
So sometimes that's really not...
Is this, is this Coldplay?
Yeah, this is Yellow by Coldplay.
Now, wait, what happened to Bruno Mars? Why am I confused about this situation? Why was I under the impression that Bruno Mars was coming back to perform the halftime show?
I thought there was, like, a story that he was being considered.
God, I could have sworn they had announced that Bruno Mars, maybe it was, will be performing at Super Bowl 50 and it'll be in some other capacity, but...
He could be the pregame.
This might be my first Coldplay song right here.
I'm sure I've heard him.
This
will get you fired up for the second.
I honestly really like Coldplay. They announced that, I was like, all right, that'll be fun for me. I enjoy Coldplay a lot.
Do they have something more upbeat than this?
No, this is a pretty representative of what Coldplay is.
Just play that same
this is Coldplay.
Little riff over and over.
In fact, that's
again.
The name of this song. This is Coldplay.
This is Coldplay.
By Coldplay.
Deal with it.
According to the article from Rolling Stone, Bruno Mars will be performing at some time. They don't even know. It says in the article, and Coldplay will play at halftime.
Huh.
Bruno Mars is a good entertainer.
Oh, he was phenomenal at the Super Bowl.
I thought he was too. I mean,
he was great. Now, I've probably been to like six Super Bowl actual games.
Right.
You know, I've covered about a dozen of them, whatever, but Prince in Miami was...
I thought Prince was fantastic.
So good.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, it was eerie when it started to rain, when Purple Rain was on. It was really, it was crazy at how good he was. And
that wasn't the NFL, by the way. That was Prince.
That was, of course, rain. Right. Yeah. It was the tears of, I don't know who would be the tears.
Surprised he wasn't up there eating pancakes.
Who was his little sidekick? What was her name? Prince and, it wasn't Vanity, was it? No.
Apollonia.
Apollonia. That's who it was. Apollonia. Apollonia was also Michael Corleone's first wife's name, right?
Yes, it was.
Which she got blown up in the car in Italy.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yes.
Yes, Apollonia. there you go. Random. This is a random show today, if you haven't noticed. What is your favorite Elton John song?
Oh, my goodness.
My favorite? Probably your song.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Right?
I had the greatest hits that was on, so I play it. When I was a kid, I mean, I like the standards, Cantaloupe. I mean, all
right,
the ones.
So, right, I got you. Hacker is big fan of the Lion King inspired Elton John playlist, right? And he always has been.
That's
by
such
the way.
A character tell.
As long as we've known him. Now I hear him the other day going through. He's like, I love Elton John. Elton John's one of my all time favorites. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Now someone saved my life tonight.
A great song.
The big orchestra piano songs of his.
I'm telling you, Tony, back me up on that. 12 years ago, Hacker couldn't name an Elton John song that was not on the Lion King soundtrack.
No, he couldn't.
Now he's like, oh, Tiny Dancer is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah, well,
like,
that's right.
It's
funny, as you start naming them off
of your list, there's so many.
There's about 18 that you go, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
Well, that one. Yeah. So, would you care to sing a snippet of your song?
No, I would not.
You would not?
No. Nobody wants to hear that.
All right. Just wanted to give you the opportunity. A little musical accompaniment.
It is a little bit funny.
It is, right?
Yeah,
it's a feeling.
But it's not one of those you needly high.
Ah, there you go. Spoken word.
That's about what I did.
All right, Johnny, how you feeling?
Shatner route.
How you feeling about a trip to Nashville this weekend?
It's always, I mean, it's, I've probably been to Nashville, I would guess, more than any other road city, just having been in Indy for 10 years and then having covered the Jags early on when they first started going. it's a fantastic city. You know, there's probably no better road trip city consistently. It's a great press box. It's always an enjoyable.
What do you do? Go to the country bars? What do you do in Nashville?
When we stay close, meaning like within walking distance of downtown.
Yeah. Honky tonking.
I'm not going to say there hasn't been times I've overdone it.
Okay.
So, but I don't think we're staying close this year, so it'll probably just be a dinner and, you know.
I do take every opportunity I can to insult the Titans when appropriate. Truly worst press box food. Is there a worst press box food selection in the National Football League? I haven't been to all of them.
I never mind that. I get how people dislike it because it's.
I love breakfast any time of day, but they serve breakfast at noon and it's bad breakfast. It's like runny eggs, you know, overcooked bacon.
Yeah, see, I'm a big. My big theory on breakfast is if you're going to serve breakfast, you need a bagel option.
Bagels? Bagels.
In case
toast.
Breakfast. Because breakfast, when you're dealing with eggs and grease. It can sometimes just go south on
you. Yes.
So if it goes south on you, you need the bagel option.
You need something to stop it up.
That was a big theory when Prisco and I were traveling in the 90s. That was a big grade for press box food. Bagel option always bailed you out, and you got at least a B.
All right. What do you think will go differently, if anything, based on the way this game will play out this weekend compared to a couple weeks ago?
Compared to a couple weeks ago, I was going to say, I'm not sure I expect any grand change in theme from this team the rest of the season, because I think we know what they are. I mean, I think it's going to be close games. I think you're going to hope they can get a pass rush when it's tight, and you hope they can figure out a way to get in the red zone when they get there, and they will get there. So that's kind of how it played out the other day against the Titans. They were able to make a big play at the end of the game, get close, and score. If they score in the red zone, they can win this game and not be worried about it in the fourth quarter. I mean,
right.
But are they going to do that? I haven't seen it.
Right, Tony, as Tony said.
I'm not trying to be dim or snide.
No.
Don't know where it comes from.
Right. We'll believe it when we see it.
Right.
And, you know, we hope that it's going to happen. We're not giving up hope that it could happen. But as Tony said, you know, if they start converting at even a reasonable clip at the red zone, they might have some of these arm's length victories,
right.
Win by a couple of touchdowns. And it'd be nice to see for a change. It's hard to imagine.
No, the coffee went down wrong.
You're not going to believe that.
That was maybe my best radio of the year.
Well timed. Yeah. I've got to say, I do think that as we were hearing some cuts from Gus Bradway on the Gus Bradway Show last night, talking about the pressure and how much more they've applied since the Buffalo game, I agree with him as a whole, with last week being the exception because of the approach, oftentimes only rushing three guys against Phillip Rivers. But
and they did that against the Jets as well. I mean, with the blitz, you still have to be smart, because if you're going to take a quarterback who's really good against the blitz, who gets the ball out, and that's what they do, and you just go in and say, hey, because people want us to blitz, we're going to blitz blind, and we're just going to go after it every play, well, then you're sort of being as stubborn the other way as the other way would have been, as you were before with not blitzing.
Right.
So against Phillip Rivers, if all you do is blitz, we saw he's smart enough to see it. He gets the ball out quick. He's a 12-year veteran. That doesn't always work. There was a time when I was covering Peyton Manning where teams thought, hey, we're going to blitz this guy. Well, guess what? He was throwing five or six touchdowns a game, and the blitz didn't work. So you have to figure out something else and hope that it works. But I do think in the last four games you're going to see them continue to try to balance blitz and get more pressure in unique ways, because they clearly can't do it with four.
A couple quick things here before we let you go. On the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, this one came in about 20 minutes ago. As I watched the Packers last night, they brought the house time and time again in the second half. How come the Jags never bring the house? Is it personnel, or they don't trust the corners in one-on-one coverage? It's more just a philosophy of what they want to do. Now, they have increased. What is bring the house? You know, is it bring the house is really like, you know, seven guys and play everybody one-on-one across the board.
And you're just not going to see them do that a whole lot. They're going to bring pressure. They're going to try to get it with Cole, and they're going to try to get it with unique guys.
But bringing five
smart.
More
five
consistently,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with bringing five guys. But it's more of an organizational defensive philosophy that they want to try and get pressure with the four down linemen. And
also, I think we've mentioned it on this show, I'm not sure that they believe just because you blitz doesn't mean you're good at it. And I don't know that they particularly think that they're a great, quote, blitzing team. So do you do that all the time when you're not very good at it? You know, it's not really a thing. Colvin's really good at it. But they don't have, you know, they didn't bring Telvin Smith in to blitz. You know, I mean, so do you have personnel that's good at blitzing? Just because you want to blitz, I probably wouldn't be a good blitzer.
Yeah, you know, I would think that, though, regardless if you have guys who are particularly adept at it, sometimes just bringing the extra guy and messing up blocking schemes and making them account for different looks.
Which, again, they started to do. I'm just saying, if you don't think you're overall good at it, then you don't necessarily want to do that a huge percentage of the time, bring the house every time, because then, you know, you're going to be on the back end. One final thing, I also think that they're going, I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, and it's been a topic for a couple of weeks, I do think there'll be a more concerted effort to run this week.
Any further update on Hearns from your perspective?
No update. My thought and feeling continues to be the same. Everything you heard on Wednesday in the way Bortles and Olsen were talking, especially, they weren't coming out and saying he wasn't playing. I don't think either of those guys are planning on Hearns playing. I'd be surprised if he plays. It's just felt all week like one of those where, you know what, with what happened on Sunday, it's just hard to see him being out there.
All right, Jags win on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. And I've been saying all week, my theme, I want to see Marquise Lee. I want to see what that guy can do. I want to see him playing a lot. But yeah, I guess maybe it's blind faith. I keep thinking that they're going to score a couple touchdowns in the red zone and get maybe a little bit figured out. I predict the fade works once to A-Rod this week.
Ah,
how about that?
He's calling a shot right there. He is John Osier.
And maybe twice. Maybe even Julius Thomas in the other corner.
I'll take it.
Both corner pockets. How about that?
I'll take two to Julius, actually.
All right, good.
Honestly,
if we're putting in requests, two to Julius, maybe another one to Yeldon. You know what I'm talking about.
If they start figuring out the fade route, they are dangerous in the red zone. Because that play's been available to them a lot.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Got a stack of goodies for this date in football history. Tony, did you know that on this date, December 4th, 1920, the first professional football playoff game took place at the Polo Grounds in New York? Which two participants were involved in that game?
I don't know.
Which cities?
Who did the Giants lose to?
It was Buffalo 7, Canton 3. So it was one of the rare ones from that time period where the Giants did not factor into the scoring. 1977, the NFL's 5,000th game was played as Cincinnati beat Kansas City 27-7. On the very same day, Tony Dorsett rushed for 206 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles, becoming at the time only the third rookie to rush for more than 200 yards in a game. 1982 on this date, Hushel got his Heisman. Herschel Walker, some consider him the greatest college football player of all time. He cemented it with a Heisman Trophy, the 48th such award given away in 1982. 1997, Barry Sanders set an NFL record by rushing for over 100 yards in his 12th consecutive game on this date. 1997, same exact day, Cincinnati running back Corey Dillon rushed for a then rookie record 246 yards in a 41-14 victory over Tennessee. Doug Martin has since eclipsed that with 251 in his rookie year in 2012. Famous birthdays for this date. How about the comeback kid, Frank Reich, NFL quarterback, and of course, University of Maryland quarterback. When going up against the Miami Hurricanes, he led the Terps back from a 31-0 halftime deficit in 1984 with a 42-9 second half to complete the largest comeback in NCAA history at the time, which has since been exceeded by the Michigan State Spartans' comeback in 2006 over Northwestern. And in the pros, of course, he was at the helm for the Buffalo Bills against the Houston Oilers, down 35-3 early in the third quarter, and brought the Bills all the way back to victory in that one, subbing in for an injured Jim Kelly in that one. So happy birthday, Frank Reich. He was just in town as the offensive coordinator for the San Diego Chargers, rumored to be getting a look perhaps at the Maryland job. Born in 1969 in this state, happy 46th to Terry Shee Glenn, as Bill Parcells referred to Terry Glenn, Shee. Jeff Blake threw one of the prettiest deep balls of all time, I think. Played a long time for the Cincinnati Bengals. Threw for over 20,000 yards, by the way. Born on this date in 1970. Former Jaguar Larry Smith, born on this date in 1974. And Joe Thomas, the 8-time Pro Bowl left tackle of the Cleveland Browns, turns 31 years old today with a 1984 birthday. That is this date in football history. It's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Re-roofs, repairs. You need to call Bob Roberts if you have roofing issues. 287-7756. License number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, week 13 in the NFL kicked off with a flourish last night. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers trailed by 2 points against Detroit when they got the ball back with 23 seconds at their own 21-yard line. They were able to move the ball out to the 39 in three plays, thanks in large part to a face mask penalty. And that's when Rodgers threw up a Hail Mary that was answered with the other Rodgers, Richard Rodgers, coming down with the ball in the end zone to give the Packers an improbable and very important 27-23 win, effectively ending the Detroit Lions playoff hopes as they fall to 4-8 now on the season. The halftime act for Super Bowl 50 has been announced. UK-based Coldplay will get the honor for the first time, and good news, Mike. According to Rolling Stone, at least, Bruno Mars is expected to join Coldplay during the halftime show. Other outlets are reporting that Beyonce could be making an appearance with the band as well. She does appear on a track on their new album, which hits stores today. So some synergy there, I'm sure, for Coldplay in the announcement.
This is what I want to see happen. This would be, to me, a man of a certain age, soon to be 47 years young, Tony, as I like to think, still on, oh, I don't know, the seventh hole of my life. Yeah, right. Like, I'm going to make it to, like, 106. All right. Anyway, somewhere on the early part of the back nine, let's say, regardless, what they need to do at halftime, this is the 50th Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
which
it is.
Act do they need to bring out at halftime of the Super Bowl? Because if they bring back Beyonce, they can bring back all. They should really bring back Janet Jackson. That would be phenomenal, right? Have Jackson and Timberlake in there.
Timberlake is great.
I mean, but just have those two sing 30 seconds of anything together would be good. They need to bring back Up With People. That was the classic back in my day, Tony. Up With People. I don't even know what the hell they were. They were like some touring group of minstrels. They weren't minstrels, but they, you know, it was like a youth. I'm going to have to look up how you would define Up With People. And anybody who's my age knows what I'm talking about. If you've watched a Super Bowl back in like the late 70s, early 80s, Up With People performed at a few of them. They were just like this big group of, you know, mostly a youth group, teens and younger. I don't know what the age range was. And they sang, you know, happy, uplifting nonsense. And, but it would be a classic moment, for those of a certain age. And, you know, all the kids would be like, what the hell's Up With People? What is this?
But I can see Up With People on a stage with Coldplay.
That'd be awesome. I don't care if they fit with Coldplay or not. I'd love to see him bring back, Paul McCartney. It's the 50th one. Blow it out. Have a bunch of surprise names come out there.
Considering last year I didn't know Missy Elliott was going to be in the show.
Right.
And as a, like a, 90s music is kind of more my thing, right? Like, that was when I was growing up, and watching Missy Elliott all of a sudden show up, I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of awesome. Like, I forgot Missy Elliott was even around, and that was fun. So that kind of thing would be cool if they could surprise us with one or two things.
Make no mistake about it. Up With People was never cool by any stretch of the imagination. It was just funny. Here it was, Up With People, according to Wikipedia, which is where you go for all your facts, is an education organization whose stated mission is to bridge cultural barriers and create global understanding through service and a musical show. Service, and we'll throw in a musical show as well. The Up With People headquarters is in Denver, Colorado, with satellite offices in Belgium and Mexico. They made, in 1976, Up With People began to make frequent appearances at the Super Bowl. The group performed in four Super Bowl halftime shows between 1976 and 1986, the most of any act in the game's history. That's what I'm telling you. Bring back Up With People, like the original and the new version, too. I want some people who were there in 1976. Is this it right here? We have Up With People?
I think
right
this, now, is, Tyler, this is the Devin? Theme song, yeah.
They had a theme song.
From 1965.
Really? They've been around that long, huh? Well, I guess you have to establish yourself before you get invited to play the Super Bowl.
I guess so.
Yeah, they were founded in 1965. Good call. All right, on second thought, maybe, I don't know, video tribute to them would be nice. That'd be good, too. All right, so maybe not exactly a chart topper right there.
No.
That wasn't their shtick. They weren't chart toppers, Tony. They were trying to bridge cultural barriers and create global understanding through service and a musical show.
Sounds like a very 70s thing to do.
It was such a 70s thing. It was like the most 70s thing to do was Up With People and sing along to the Coca-Cola commercial about how much you like to teach the world to sing. Those were the two most 70s things There are probably many more. Most
there
70s
are a lot of
ever.
70s things, but yes. A band that's there to educate the people.
Some people realize that Elton John was once a 70s thing.
Sure.
Other people think he's more of a 90s thing.
It's enough.
It's fine as well.
For this wide-eyed wanderer.
No, that's not in your head. We just keep going to it over and over.
I hate to
over
change again. The subject, but we do have some breaking news. Jaguars news. Alan Hearns. Dan Scuda and Toby Gerhart have all been ruled out.
All right. Well, there you have it. No more, not that there was a great debate about it or any wondering, but once you lump the names together, I would have been surprised at any other designation other than out. Any other, news of note on the injury report, Tyler, that you've got there?
That's all I'm seeing currently, but the tweets are flooding in.
All right, well, we'll check out the complete and entire injury report.
Gus is speaking right now. I saw, I think, Brian Walters, Neil Sterling, Bernard Pierce are questionable for the Jags this week. No doubtfuls on the injury report.
And none of those guys, apologies to them, crucial to the success of the
but
team.
But he didn't mention Myers even, so that's not an issue anymore.
Good.
For this Sunday. So it's not a surprise that Alan Hearns isn't going to play this week after that play that you saw last week. Scuda, we talked about it. He went on that Thursday night and probably worsened that injury more than they expected him to. So it'll be at least another week before you see him. And Gerhart, he played last week. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, this is the last five games that he's going to be on a roster in Jacksonville. You got a feeling?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be shocking otherwise. And, you know, look, Toby's a good guy from all I can tell, you know.
Nothing against Toby.
Look, we all have a I do it, so I assume others have a tendency to do it, and I think I've heard it in other people's commentary from time to time. We tend to equate, you know, the value of a person with their ability to perform on an athletic field, and that's certainly not the case. You know, Toby didn't come in here and sulk or loaf or do anything that I could tell. Now, you know, there was a question about his effort on special teams a few weeks back as his role was diminishing. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think he's been a bad teammate or anything like that. He just didn't work out.
No, look, he got hurt when he got here and has not been what they expected him to be, and it's why they spent a second-round draft pick on T.J. Yeldon in this year's draft, is they made a decision after a year that Gerhart wasn't going to be the
answer.
And let's
be honest, though, he was a placeholder to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? He was going to, you know, if we can get a couple of years out of him, great, but, you know, we're going to be looking to upgrade.
I know a lot
of
people
future.
Freaked out about the money they gave Toby Gerhart. They have money falling out of their ears.
Right.
In Jacksonville. To go get that guy basically for 2 years, who cares?
Right. All right, exactly. By the way, I do realize I said complete and entire, which is certainly in the category of each and every. So there's another quarter in JT's college fund.
Redundantly redundant.
It is absolutely redundantly redundant. I'm the master of the obvious on that score. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We hear a little bit from Bob Babich, some more from Gus Bradley as well at their various platforms they were speaking at yesterday to the media. Again, Alan Hearns officially ruled out along with Dan Scuda. Toby Gerhart, those three we know will not be suiting up for the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. So come on, Marquise Lee. Opportunity is beckoning for you. Make the most of it. Take advantage of it. Get it done this weekend. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I could go either way. Coldplay or Up With People. What do you got?
This is neither. This is Of Mice and Men, I think.
Oh.
Of Monsters and
Steinbeck.
Men.
Steinbeck.
Monsters
close.
And Men, yeah.
Neither. None of the above.
Right. But it's not Coldplay.
All right. So this has no tie into anything.
No
theme. Tyler's trying to get these guys noticed for the Super Bowl halftime show for next year. Where's the game next year, by the way? I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I think they're one of them set for Miami or Tampa are back in the rotation again pretty soon.
Are they in Atlanta in the new stadium yet next year? No.
Is it? I don't know. Maybe if we had a producer could look that up, that'd be swell. As right now, I am on the I'm on the Wikipedia page for the list of Super Bowl halftime shows. This is more fun than it really has any sense being here. Let's see. The first one, Tony, was featuring the University of Arizona Symphonic Marching Band and the Grambling State University Marching Band.
Nice.
Apparently, Grambling blew them away because they were going solo in Super Bowl II down in Miami, as you'd expect. Was it Grambling or was it Florida A&M that was featured on the Welch's commercial back in the day. Anybody who's, again, in my age range.
I was about to say, don't ask me. I don't know.
There's a Welch's commercial, and, you know, just basically just featured the marching band, I'm sure dressed up in purple gear or whatever the case may be. And I think it was one of those two. Florida A&M Rattler Band, by the way, along with several Miami high school bands, played Super Bowl III. So FAMU got in there early, and that was kind of the early direction. I mean, honestly, Tony, Carol Channing, I've heard of Carol Channing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was she who sang Hello Dolly, which my grandmother, who was born in 1909, used to sing all the time around the house. She played with the Southern University Marching Band at Super Bowl IV.
Nice.
Wow. I mean, they're really blowing the doors off here. Hey, what about that Hendrix guy that's hot? Nah.
That's too edgy.
Let's get Hello Dolly.
Hello Dolly.
There you go. That's it. You know Carol Channing. Southeast Missouri State Marching Band, along with Up With People, were featured in 1971.
I gotta tell you. Someone sent us a video link on Twitter to the halftime show with Up With People. And it is just, like, compared to what you see now at halftime, it's just like, wow.
Right. I mean, it's just a bunch of kids, like, holding hands and waving little things.
They had people dancing. Like, yeah. It was just couples dancing all around them, and there was no stage. It was just flat on the ground.
Simple. Musical, Tony, it was wholesome, good wholesome music is what we had back in the day, because that's what the 70s were all about, wholesome times. Don't anybody tell you different. They brought Carol Channing back in Super Bowl VI, along with Ella Fitzgerald, Al Hurt. Everybody knows who that is, right? Trumpeter Al Hurt.
Mm.
You know, there's always a good calling for a good trumpeter.
Couldn't get Chuck Mangione.
I guess. And the U.S. Marine Corps drill team performed there. The University of Michigan Marching Band and Woody Herman and Andy Williams, yeah, the Christmas guy,
yeah,
were performing at Super Bowl VII halftime.
All my extended family loves Andy Williams. Up there in, like, the Tennessee area, they love Andy.
Mercer Ellington, any relation to Duke Ellington? I'm not sure. He was perhaps an American jazz trumpeter, composer, and arranger.
I wonder how far down the list we have to go before we get to somebody who's any piece of their music I've ever even thought about owning.
Up With People in Super Bowl X. 11 was the Walt Disney Company. The theme was It's a Small World. It was in the Rose Bowl, the Super Bowl was that year. The Tyler Apache Bells Drill Team?
Nope.
How about Apache Pete, or the Apache Band, or Pete Fountain, who was a clarinetist? Fortunato raising a fist. He knows. He's rocking out.
And a clarinetist featured.
And a clarinetist and a trumpeter, because they brought back Al Hurt to pair with Pete Fountain.
Oh, yeah.
That year.
Good old Al.
So they're playing all the different. Would that be the brass section? Let's see. Ken Hamilton, who there's no Wikipedia entry for, but he was featured on Salute to the Caribbean, because Ken Hamilton sounds so exotic, doesn't it?
Does.
So Caribbean. And various Caribbean bands, including the Grammix out of Dominica, I'm told, according to Wikipedia. More Up With People, more Grambling State. Southern University, Helen O'Connell got a shot at Super Bowl 15. Joe, you got anything on Helen O'Connell? Nothing? Okay,
nothing.
If Joe didn't have anything, we got nothing for you. More Up With People, they're back.
Oh.
They say four times they performed. That was in the Pontiac Silverdome.
They were a hit.
Super Bowl 17, you had the Los Angeles Super Drill Team were out there. I guess twirling their batons and whatnot.
Whatever that means.
Fancy baton twirling. How about University of Florida and the Florida State marching bands performed at Super Bowl 18? They were the halftime performers.
That's cool.
I did not know that.
We still haven't got to anybody whose music I would even want to hear.
They did. Here are the songs they did, Tony. Hooray for Hollywood. You ought to be in picture. You ought to be in pictures. Stepping out with my baby, putting on the Ritz. I mean,
putting on the Ritz.
What? This was in Tampa. All right. Still getting down to it. Tops in Blue. Joe? No? Tops in Blue?
I got a couple of blue tops.
Yeah, he has a couple of blue tops, but he does not remember the performers at Super Bowl 19. Beat of the Future. Oh, that was Up With People at Super Bowl 20. Because if it's a big one, they're bringing Up With People back. That's why I said, Joe, they need to bring them back in Santa Clara this year for Super Bowl 50 to be featured with Coldplay
just
and all these
others. Just to confuse everyone under the age of like 40.
Okay, here we go, Tony. What exactly took place at halftime of Super Bowl 21? George Burns, Mickey Rooney, the Grambling State Band, and the USC Marching Bands, along with Disney characters and Southern Cal area high school drill teams and dancers.
Mickey Rooney. Oh, I almost want to see what that was. That sounds like a disaster.
Let's be star in the world. Right. Let's be star in the world. I want Dana Carvey as Mickey Rooney at Super Bowl 50 halftime this year. Then how about here's one you've heard of, at least in the Super Bowl 22, Chubby Checker, because he was well in his groove back then. Chubby Checker was only, I don't know, two decades out of his peak, perhaps, at that point, maybe three.
At least I've heard of this guy.
Right, Chubby Checker, who was featured in the, or mentioned in the Schoolhouse Rock on Nouns, if you remember. Chubby Checker, he was doing the twist. The Rockettes were also there, along with 72 grand pianos and a bunch of other marching bands. Let's see. Elvis Presto performed at Super Bowl 23, along with South Florida area dancers and performers with 3D effects.
My goodness.
Wow, 3D effects. Pete Fountain. Noted clarinetist Pete Fountain made a return engagement. My gosh. Irma Thomas and the Nicholls State University Band. Now we're up to Super Bowl 24 now. I mean, we're getting deep into this.
This is halfway into this thing here.
Here we go. This is one for Donna Murphy. Are you listening, Murph? Are you listening? Super Bowl 25. The New Kids on the Block.
Hey.
Murphy still has New Kids posters up all over her house. It's unbelievable.
That's when it started.
What about Dwayne? Disney characters are there. Warren Moon? Why?
Warren Moon performed at halftime?
It says performers, New Kids on the Block, Disney characters, Warren Moon, and 2,000 local children, and they did an audience card stunt, which was probably like the first one that they did, you know, where they flip the cards and it says something, and it was like, ooh, technology. Crazy.
That was 25?
That was 25.
So it took 25 before they put a real pop act at halftime.
New Kids on the Block did Super Bowl 25, and that was like a hip, current pop act at the time. Then you had Gloria Estefan, or Estefan, however you want
now
to say
it's,
it.
Now it's going.
Along with Olympic figure skaters Brian Boitano and Dorothy Hamill. they brought them out. Their first song was Walking in a Winter Wonderland, so it was some kind of, and it was in Minnesota. So that makes a little bit more sense.
I think they're in Minnesota in a couple years.
They're actually in Minnesota in 2018 for Super Bowl LII.
Do we have LI yet?
Yes, 20. Houston. LI is in Houston. Yeah, the Great Playing Surfaces of Houston.
Oh, yes. Let's see. Michael Jackson. All right, we've heard
of him.
Here
we go.
Michael Jackson, Clint Black, Tanya Tucker, Travis Tritt, and the Judds. Okay, they were all, you know, popular at that time frame. Now we're into the early to mid-90s.
I don't love you anymore.
Appearing at Super Bowl 26, Hacker, along with Patti LaBelle, Indiana Jones, and Marion Ravenwood. Teddy Pendergrass. Oh, Teddy Pendergrass. Ladies melt for Teddy. All right? I mean, seriously, can we get some Teddy Pendergrass up here? Tony Bennett, Arturo Sandoval, and the Miami Sound Machine were also featured that year. Diana Ross at Super Bowl 30, sponsored by Oscar Mayer. It's true. She did a lot of songs. She did like 10 songs.
Really? It must have been like a
little medley,
30 seconds of each of them.
I'm with you. Let's see. The Blues Brothers.
That's awesome.
Super Bowl 31, along with ZZ Top, James Brown, and Catherine Cryer.
Holy cow. That sounds amazing.
Right? Then how about you had Boys to Men, with Smokey Robinson, Martha Reeves, the Temptations, Queen Latifah, and the Grambling Marching Band.
Ooh.
That wouldn't be bad. Then you had Gloria Estefan came back with Stevie Wonder, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and Savion Glover. Don't know who that is.
I like Voodoo Daddy.
Tina Turner with Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton, an 80-person choir. Edward James almost was there to narrate.
That's amazing.
He was there to narrate. Super Bowl 35. Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney Spears, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly. Then you had U2. They didn't need any help.
No.
They just showed up.
That was an amazing halftime.
Banged it out. Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting. Oh, then you had Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, Nelly, Kid Rock, and Justin Timberlake. Kid Rock, I'd forgotten, like, all these other people
Kid
were
Rock
involved
was,
in that.
Like, it felt like Kid Rock was the only one, like, they were the kind of oddball act at that halftime anyway, but it felt like they were the only ones that were actually playing what they were doing live.
Right, they killed it.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney right here in Jacksonville. The Stones, people panned that one.
They panicked.
Prince and the FAMU band in Miami, phenomenal.
That's good, yeah.
Tom Petty the next year. Bruce Springsteen, I saw that one in Tampa. The Who, not good at the Super Bowl.
They
great in Jacksonville,
here, yeah.
Baby. Let's see. What else do we have? The Black Eyed Peas, Usher, Slash, and the Dallas-Fort Worth area high school drill teams and dancers. Madonna, Cirque du Soleil. I love Cirque du Soleil. Nicki Minaj, CeeLo. Oh, just and like 50 other things they went crazy
for. Is that when Nicki flagged off America, I think?
Did Nicki do that? They were talking about that this morning. That was MIA, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Mia?
Is that what she's called, Mia?
No.
I thought she was MIA.
I know she sampled one of my favorite Clash songs for the only hit I've ever heard her have.
Because the next year was Beyonce and Destiny's Child, and I heard Jeff saying it was Beyonce who brought in MIA, like as an uncredited act or whatever. Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, phenomenal. You had Katy Perry, of course, with the animatronic sharks or whatever they were, and Coldplay.
Left shark and right shark.
There you have it.
So it took them 25 years before they put a pop act
25
in.
Years. Yeah, wait, hush your mouth up with people, man. They were.
That's not a pop
act. Oh, you kidding me? The 45s, they were pressing back in the day, Tony.
Let me tell you, woo! If American society made Up With People a pop act, then I'm disappointed in American society.
Tony, I'm trying to tell you, the 70s were a kinder, gentler, simpler decade. Right, you just sat there in your gas line thinking.
More people were choosing
thoughts.
That than Elton John and Aerosmith and all that other stuff that was available to them. My goodness, what is wrong with y'all?
Yeah, well, Elton John, very risque, you know, and he may not be heterosexual. We can't have him at halftime of the Super Bowl, right? Don't think that wasn't a factor.
No, I'm sure it was.
Back in the 70s.
Considering they had 5 Disney theme shows based on what you just told me.
All right. They had a lot of Disney theme shows.
Yeah.
And, of course, thank goodness we had our clarinetist twice, and at least we have Edward James Olmos to fall back on to narrate everything that's happening.
That'd be cool.
At halftime.
Actually, if Edward James Olmos was narrating like this year's halftime show, I'd be down.
You'd
with
be all right with
yeah,
that? They should bring
yeah.
back all the elements of
really,
all these
it
things.
Should be with Star Wars coming out in a couple weeks, James Earl Jones ought to be narrating halftime.
Is he still with us? He is. Okay, good. Oh, good. Then yes, let's bring him out, James Earl Jones. What about the music of John Williams then?
Let's do it.
That performed last night, right, at the symphony? Wasn't that going on last night? Couldn't make it. Could not make it. It's funny, my son Colin loves that stuff, and I would actually take him to that if it were like in the spring, something like that. He actually, coincidentally enough, went to a recital where his best buddy plays saxophone at,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. So there you have that. Maybe he'll be at Super Bowl 57 or something like that. You just never know. Clarinetist, trumpeter, all these things. We're obviously not going to hear anything.
Warren Moon.
Gus Bradley. Warren Moon. Random Warren Moon. Carol Channing was there. It was fantastic. And every Southern marching band they could get their hands on. Seriously, Grambling University Marching Band, I think, has performed more than Up With People, just looking at that list. But they claim maybe
yeah.
Up With People sang at the most Super Bowl halftime shows. But Grambling looks like they're holding it down as far as Super
you
Bowl
poor
halftime.
Soul,
70s America. Seriously, now I am convinced if they're not going to do something like this, that they have absolutely missed the boat. And they should sample halftime entertainment through the decades. There should be something at least from every 10-year period of Super Bowl halftime shows. Put me in charge of this, Tony. Let's get this done. We will try to bring you a few thoughts of Gus Bradley and Bob Babich on the other side, but pressing issue of a recap of the Super Bowl halftime productions was needed at that point in time. Caldwell and Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we'll come back with your keys to victory for the Jaguars against the Tennessee Titans this week in the Fan Feedback Spotlight. It's Jaguars Today on a Friday here live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I bet he's a good player. I mean, he's somebody you got to respect, and you got to make sure that you're aware of him. I mean, that's obviously an emphasis for us defensively. But we, as you said, we played him, you know, a lot of times, and we have an awful lot of respect for him. And he's, you know, a highly targeted guy in their offense, and I think he's having one of the best years that he's had as far as catches and yardage and things like that.
I'll say this, while the season's in season, Delanie Walker, bad guy, enemy, terrible person, out of season, dude, couldn't have been a nicer guy.
He was a lot of fun.
Really cool, big advocate against drunk driving, obviously lost, was an uncle, I believe.
Yeah.
Following the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, the Super Bowl that was in New Orleans, his uncle got hit by a drunk driver and killed, and was a super nice guy when we met him last year, got a chance to talk to him. And a good sport, too, about, you know, giving some grief coming on a show called Jaguars Today. but regardless, I do think this is the main guy. Now, they have Kendall Wright back, who they didn't have a couple weeks ago as well.
Sure.
So you can't overlook that aspect of it. But Delanie Walker, to me, the biggest threat this offense brings, at least that Marcus Mariota has at his disposal, other than Mariota himself. I think Delanie is the guy to keep an eye on.
Mariota.
That's right. That's your boy Raj. Gus Bradley on the Gus Bradley Show last night, before we get to the fan feedback spotlight here, talking about reviewing red zone play calling and whether or not he goes over that specifically with his offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen.
I mean, we're as hard on ourselves as anybody. First, as a coaching staff, you look and say, wait a minute now, what do we need to do? How can we help our players? How can we help them be effective down there? So as a coaching staff, you have to have that humility to look at yourself first. And then you go and you say, all right, what can we do as players, or what's the reason? But, you know, you look at the plays, just like you saw, Julius Thomas was wide open, mm-hmm. So we see things like that. And, it's just reading the coverage, seeing things for the first time, disguises, things like that. And we'll get it. But the scheme is good. Ole does a great job down there in the red zone. You know, we got to look at mixing things up a little bit, can do some different things. But, you know, overall, we just got to make the plays when the opportunity presents itself. And right now, we're not doing it consistently enough.
That's a head coach saying there's nothing wrong with the play call and there's nothing wrong with the scheme. You say it's good. We like it. He's doing a good job. Guys are getting open. We see that. That comes back to your quarterback seeing that, right? And, look, time will come where the comfort level will increase and he'll get to a point of peak efficiency for him, whatever that happens to be. I don't think he's clearly there yet, Tony. But it doesn't make it any less frustrating in the moment, as you mentioned yesterday. Even if you know he's going to throw X amount of interceptions, when he throws one at that moment, you're like, man, my God. I'm thinking worse things.
Whatever your expectations are, it's okay if he exceeds it. You know, whatever your expectation happens to be for any particular player, but especially your quarterback who looks like he's shown a lot of promise, it's okay for him to exceed your expectations on a week-to-week level. And it's just watching them get in the red zone, and you can almost feel them pressing right now. Like, the offense is so comfortable everywhere else on the field, and then they'll get into the red zone, you can feel like the gears just start turning more slowly for this offense, and you just want to see them be confident in what they're doing, and they have to have some success before that's going to come. Gus Bradley last night on the Gus Bradley Show, also asked by Jeff Loggeman if he feels like they need to run the ball a little bit more in the red zone.
You try to find the truth, like I said. All right, we did. You know, they said 49 times. Well, no, it's actually with the scrambles. It was 54. Well, of those 54, how many were at the end of the game when we were down 31-19? Maybe there was 18 attempts there. And then you go, well, how many pass attempts on third down? You know, there's another 10 pass attempts. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now on first and second down, no 2 minute, no third down, we're throwing the ball 27 times or whatever the number is. You know, you try it, but, okay, well, let's look across the league. If you take 2 minute out of other teams and you take out third down, what are they throwing only 12 times a game? You know, so, you know, you try to draw comparisons, try to get an idea where you're at, what you'd like to do. But we do know this, that if you can get close to having 20 rushes, you know, that you have a chance to be more effective. Now, is that because teams are ahead and they're in 4 minute situation?
That was my next question.
And they're running the ball? Mm-hmm. So again, you got to try to find the truth in it. But we all know we need to be able to run the ball. We need to run the ball on first and second down. We need to run the ball in the red zone. And we need to run the ball when they know we're going to run the ball. We have to be a team that can do those things. And we all understand that. So, you know, based on situations, where it is in the game, the score of the game might dictate some of that. But we want to stay true to that.
Well, They might want to stay true to that. They haven't stayed true to that yet. And the question is, are they able to do what they want to do, which is have success running it at any point, never mind when the other team knows it's coming. Fan feedback spotlight today, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking, as we always do on a Friday, what are your three keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars this week?
From Irish Jaguar, number one, D-line has to make Mariota uncomfortable. Number two, no interceptions and an 81-yard punt return in the dying seconds would be nice. From Stoff Prime, number one, win. Number two, can I stay? Number three, Shad, please adopt me or can I have a job? Hashtag Duval, Stoff, and Mina say thank you as he's heading back. He's down in the Orlando airport this morning.
What up, Stoff?
From Chef Jags, better red zone calls, get TJ involved, no turnovers, and put Mariota on his back. From Daniel, keep Walker under 100 and no touchdowns. Defense gets a turnover, Yeldon gets a touchdown. From Eric, run TJ more, pressure Mariota, and emphasize turnovers. From Only Son of a Ladies Man, hand it to Yeldon, throw it to Yeldon, do both in the red zone. And from Demetrius, neutralize Mariota's top target, Delanie Walker, take advantage of their leaky pass defense, and finish.
All right, I got a bunch on Facebook, but I just wanted to read this one. From Joshua Lee Wright, who is a frequent contributor, says, well, according to Mike from the Beaches, your keys are don't let Bortles throw it, don't let Bortles run it, don't let Bortles even suit up. So I guess as long as Blake Bortles isn't starting, we're in good shape. But he said, obviously, score in the red zone, feed Yeldon the football more than nine times, blitz Mariota into the ground. There you have it. Nicely played, Joshua Lee Wright. A couple I wanted to mention before we got out of here. Chad Scott, our own man, Double D, Double T, said he had a friend of a friend who was in Up With People, and he said minstrels is not far off the description, gypsies either. So, you know, that's... it's more like a singing Peace Corps is what it was.
That minute I watched was the first I'd ever seen of Up With People, and it was it's something.
You've heard of them, all right? Just in reference
to the
Super Bowl?
Yeah, right. I had heard the name. I don't know that I may have heard some of their music before. I don't know.
Two separate texters sent snippets of Up With People lyrics once we mentioned them. Up with the people you meet. You meet them wherever you go. And then a separate one, up with people, best kind of folks we know. It's almost like they were, back to back. It's like two consecutive verses there. And, Tops in Blue is the Air Force Performing Arts team, according to one of our, cool, texters on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. So we appreciate that, clarification right there. And, there you have it. A lot on the Super Bowl halftime show thing, but that was fun. I like those kind of things. go get them, Jags. You know, no reason why you can't sweep this Tennessee Titan team. And then see where the chips fall this weekend. Still, I know, you know, we said this last week, but Houston going to Buffalo and Indy playing Pittsburgh, Tony, two very losable games. The rest of the division,
sure,
you can pick up an entire game on the entire division this week. All you can do is beat Tennessee. So go out there and do that and get ready to go toe-to-toe with the Colts. And who knows, but just, you have to win this game. Yes, it's important if you want to chase down the division, but as much as anything, the goodwill that you started to build by winning three out of four games. All right, you lost to San Diego. Not good. Lose to this team? This team? Not going to be good with this fan base in terms of what kind of level of enthusiasm I'd expect to see out of the final 4 weeks of the season. So just go out there for your fan base's psyche, for your one loss column, for all the tangible and intangible reasons.
Yeah, look, you win on Sunday in that game against Indianapolis. The next week here at Everbank is an interesting one. Whether they win this week or not, the game the next week becomes a very, very interesting one for this Jaguars team. But it's they got no more wiggle room when it comes to any kind of playoff talk. They got to win. They got to win them all and find a way to get that done. They've certainly had an opportunity where they could have won five games in a row at some point this season already. Like, they've had that opportunity. Can they make those opportunities count here in the last month when, if you're talking about a young team growing up, here's your last chance in 2015 to show how much you have if you're going to be talking playoff picture in December.
All right. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac here on Jaguars Today. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida Well, they have the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, and absolutely no dealer fees, all part of the Claude Nolan Edge. You shouldn't be surprised. With an on-site body shop, they'll paint and repair any model. Claude Nolan Cadillac guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one single step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com, or better yet, visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Tell them Mike Dempsey said hello to you. And also, call them at 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. You know what we've done here? As we've gone the whole show with a stack of tickets to tonight's USA Jamaica national team showdown for World Cup qualifying at Hodges Stadium on the campus of UNF. If you would like a four-pack of tickets to go see them, be any one of callers 2 through 5. First caller, you're not going to get it. But caller 2, caller 3, caller 4, and caller 5, we got four packs of tickets. Do not call, please, if you don't think you can go.
Did you say
and
four,
if you can't pick
four
them
packs
up today? We have four packs.
Okay, nice.
And they're all for tonight. So let's push them out there. We appreciate the Jacksonville Axemen and Firehouse Subs for providing those. But great opportunity to go out there. And so, this is the national team of the United States of America for rugby league, the highest level it's played at. The best from all over the country, including some former Axemen suiting up here in action tonight, representing the United States of America. So get your red, white, and blue out. Go watch Team USA over at Hodges Stadium take on Jamaica. Then you can watch your championship games tomorrow. You watch your Jags on Sunday. Do that whole nine yards. But callers 2 through 5 will each get a four-pack of tickets to go see that tonight. Tony, thanks to John Osier for stopping by. Thanks to the vocal stylings of Ryan the Hacker Green for entertaining us and regaling us today. For Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, for Fat Tony, and for myself, I'll leave you with this, Tony. If more people were for people, all people everywhere, there'd be a lot less people to worry about and a lot more people who'd care. Spoken and sung by the traveling minstrels of Up With People. Ladies and gentlemen, get them to Santa Clara for Super Bowl 50 for a cameo appearance at halftime. We'll turn it over to the boys of XL Primetime live from Hotlanta. It's coming up next. Thanks again to Claude Nolan Cadillac. Have a great weekend. Go Jaguars. We'll talk to you on the pregame show right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!